Hey everyone, welcome to the Purdue podcast. I'm Pastor Aaron. This is my wife Heather, and it's great to see you guys. If you've been waiting for a couple minutes, sorry, we just started just a tad bit late today. Mondays, I always find it interesting. A lot of churches take Mondays off for their staff. Because Sunday is kind of big, they take Mondays off. Most of our staff takes Fridays off, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
But Monday is one of my busiest days, doing all the work of the ministry. I do a lot of meetings on Mondays and just keep things rolling. So I know Pastor Heather stays busy on Mondays as well. But we're really excited to join you guys. Be sure to say where you're from, say your name. Some of y'all, I don't know your name.
We just know your handle. Hey, Chrissy. Yeah, let us know who you are, where you're watching from. And if you have a question, we would love for you to leave a question in the comment section. We just ask that you try to stay on topic.
I know. Some people get very
random.
It's
easy. When the reason why is because if Pastor Aaron and I start answering random questions, we'll be here all day.
So, and to help y'all out, I know some people join in later. We're going to be going to 2 Corinthians 5, 17.
We don't have notes today.
Through verse 21. But I love this little chunk of scripture. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. Yeah. Hi, Emily. Emily's joining. Chrissy's on. You say where you're watching from as well. We like to do this.
We say that you could share this. You could share this podcast.
Yeah.
If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, share it with somebody.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about the three things every Christian must know. Mm-hmm. And you find this here in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. So if you have a question related to what we're talking about, you're welcome to post that to chime in. Let's just dive in here.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, two of my favorite New Testament words are in Christ.
Yeah.
Whenever you see in Christ, in him, pay very close attention, because that's the mystery of the gospel, is that Christ is in us, but we're in him. Mm-hmm. And really the secret to Christian living is found being in Christ. And it says, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And a lot of believers don't understand that when they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. that they have a brand new nature. Some people still refer to themselves as a sinner,
yeah.
or still want to act like a sinner. But they don't realize that they are a brand new creation. They have a new identity. You know, if you look at the Greek there for new creation, it means that this has never existed before.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, some people think that Christianity is like a self-help type thing. Like you just try to become a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
But that's not what true Christianity is. True Christianity is being a brand new, never existing before creation in Christ. And the only way that miracle can happen is by being in Christ. You know, we talked about just how Jesus said you have to be born again.
Yeah.
He told it to Nicodemus. We were talking to someone and they're kind of a newer believer. I think their spouse is a more seasoned believer, but you were talking to them and mentioned being born again.
Yeah.
And she said, well, we don't believe in that born again stuff.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, you must be born again.
Right.
You must become a new creation.
Can I read this from the Amplified?
Yeah.
Okay, the Amplified says, we're talking about three things every believer must know, for those of you that have just joined us. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, and the Amplified says, Amplified Classic says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the flesh and new has come. And I think that's so important to realize, because like you were saying, a lot of people don't even know that they are a new creation. They're brand new. They're not fixed up. They're not mended back together. It's the old has passed away and the new has come. Mm-hmm. And that's especially important for people that maybe struggle with like identity issues. They think they're gay, they think they're homosexual, they think they're, mm-hmm. you know, born in the wrong body or whatever. You might have that mindset as an unbeliever, but when you believe on Jesus, you're born again. Mm-hmm. And all of that junk is gone, and you're now a new creation in Christ. Mm-hmm. You don't have to struggle with the same things you used to struggle with. Mm-hmm. Why are you kind
of
smirking?
I was thinking of a little clip I saw. So there's a new movie out that's kind of getting a lot of buzz. I don't know if I'll see it or not. The Odyssey. And I told you the only Odyssey movie I like is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of like takes place.
I'm sorry, but that's a classic.
Takes place, you know, in the early 1900s in the deep South. These, you know, criminals escape jail and mm-hmm. they're on an Odyssey.
So Everett.
Yeah,
Everett and I can't.
This one very country redneck guy. They go down to.
I just want to say, hold on, time out. Every time you refer to a country person, you call them redneck. Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't.
Every single time, if they're Southern, we're all redneck. I guess you're married to a redneck.
Maybe.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so is it Everett? Is that the
Everett's guy with the dark? George Clooney.
Oh, so George Clooney is Everett. So. His companion,
uh-huh.
who he's running away with, they as they're running away, they encounter a water baptism service down at the river. Uh-huh. And I actually like this scene because they're playing some music by Alison Krauss, who's a great bluegrass singer, fiddle player. And they're playing, I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way. And it kind of mimics the scene or the point of the story in the Odyssey where there's sirens.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he goes down there and he's baptized. And when he comes back, he's talking to Everett, George Clooney, who's the intelligent one of the bunch. And just said, you know, the preacher said, all my sins are washed away.
All my sins have been washed away.
Like, and he's like, well, maybe the... You know, the preacher said that, but the state of Mississippi is still after you know.
That's funny.
Anyways, we'll have to find that clip and make a short of it. So
Pastor Lawson said he is considered a redneck. You know what? There are rednecks everywhere.
Yeah.
That's something Mark Hankins said.
Mark Hankins is
a traveling minister.
Yeah, and comes here to our church at least once a year. But
he said there's rednecks. He's traveled all around the country, all around the world.
And, you know, and he said, like, my life is like that Johnny Cash song. I've been everywhere, man. And but he said you can find rednecks in every part of the country. It doesn't matter what state you're in. There's rednecks there.
Yeah, it really is true.
It's really true. There's good
country
people
everywhere.
Anyway,
what did we talk about?
So the first thing every Christian must know.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sad to say it. A lot of Christians don't really know this, but if you have believed on Jesus and he is in you,
mm-hmm.
you're in him.
Yeah.
And you're a new creation.
Yeah. I grew up thinking that I don't even know that I was like taught this way, but I think it's just, like a natural thing that people kind of drift into this way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
but that when you're a Christian, you're trying to get better. I'm just trying to get better. I'm trying to live for the Lord. I was cutting this guy's hair one time, and this is after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I just wanted to talk to everybody about God. And I was like, I'm going to ask him if he wants to get saved. I'm going to try to lead him to the Lord, you know? And so I asked him, I was like, do you believe in Jesus? And he was like, well, I tried to go to church, but I'm just not good enough, you know, and I tried to believe in Jesus, but I just feel like I can't commit to him because I'm just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that is so sad because the whole point is that you receive Jesus and then your past is washed away. And then once you start understanding who you are in Christ, mm-hmm. you start living like that, right? You're going to live how you see yourself, Yeah.
There's three aspects of grace, and most Christians understand the first one, which is when you come to Christ, you're forgiven, so your sins are washed away.
That's what most people just
so they understand that they've been forgiven,
right,
or set free,
mm-hmm.
but they don't understand the next two aspects, and the next two aspects of grace work because of the third one. So mm-hmm. the second one is you're transformed. Grace transforms you. So number one, grace frees you. Yeah, your sins have been forgiven, but now you actually become righteous.
Yeah.
You're given a new nature, a new identity,
mm-hmm.
a new DNA. You're a new person. You're transformed. Mm-hmm. So grace frees you. It transforms you. And some people have a hard time with that. They don't want to identify as in Christ, new creation. I was a sinner, but now I'm a saint.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know, I'll talk about it because they have a hard time understanding the third part, which is that grace empowers you.
Yeah.
So without God's supernatural power, you won't be able to live as that new creation.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to live in that transformed life that Christ has given you.
Yeah.
So it takes his power. You can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
You can't do it with your old strength, your old willpower, your old goodness.
Yeah.
It can only be done in Christ. That's really the secret.
The transformed life that Christ has given you.
Yeah.
If he's given it to you, that means it's a gift. That means that you're not earning it. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that a lot of people have a problem with is that they think they have to earn it. I have to earn righteousness, yeah. You know.
I like something that Pastor Lynn Bloss is on Facebook made a great comment. She said, so many people think they have to clean themselves up before they can enter a church.
I know. And that makes me so sad. And I think if it makes me that sad, I'm sure it makes Jesus even more sad. Mm-hmm. Like that religion has distorted people's brains into thinking that they have to be.
I heard one of the cutest comments.
And then they get offended when they do come to church and then they find out that everybody here is not perfect and some people are just mean or whatever, you know, and then they get upset. But anyway, go ahead. You heard what?
There's a student that came during our outpouring conference and she came on the last night we were having it and Pastor
Max
was ministering.
It
was a Holy Ghost night. And this student went, I think, into the bathroom and kind of left early. But she came back to church. And she told her friend that invited her that now I understand religion. And it was just a very cute comment that she came back. And
good for her.
Even though she didn't understand everything. You know, sometimes you don't understand everything, but you shouldn't just throw it all out.
Yeah.
You should pray about it, seek scripture. But, you know, sometimes I don't. I have to wrap my brain around some things. God can actually work. He works according to scripture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he can do things outside of what you think is normal.
Yeah.
And there are different flows within the body of Christ as well. Some people have.
Sometimes I think that people just don't read the Bible. I mean, people were like transported.
Yeah.
You know, like. They were in one spot and now they're in another spot.
I know.
Like there were massive signs, wonders, and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, I've sat in some services and seen some things like, you know, not on podcasts, but like on reels or whatever. And I sit back and I think to myself, that's weird. That's weird, you know, but that's my flesh. And then so many times the Holy Spirit will come to me and say, well, Heather, you're only getting a small glimpse of what was going on, and you need to be very careful not to be judging people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this hot topic about don't touch God's anointed, you know, here's the thing. If you're a believer, you have the anointing abiding on the inside of you. Every single one of us mm-hmm. believers are anointed. And so that is a phrase that we should take and we should think about the whole body of Christ. That's not to put one person on a pedestal. We're all supposed to love one another and treat each other with kindness and goodness and gentleness, you know. Even when it comes to restoring people, we want to do that in a spirit of gentleness. We don't want to get our pitchforks out and go and be heresy hunters and, you know, just be mean to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a bad picture of the body of Christ that unbelievers get when believers can't even be kind to one another.
Yeah. I saw someone, you know, being a heresy hunter, being very critical of another minister that has a lot of, you know, a lot of miracles, a lot of followers right now. And they're pointing out that, and I was just thinking about the amount of time they must have sifted through all this person's live streams to find this.
They
point out this minister.
I don't have time for that, really.
A big part of her flow as a minister is deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
Casting out demons out of people, which is biblical.
It is biblical.
And you see it throughout the New Testament. And but they... In probably hours upon, you know, hundreds of hours of sifting through things, they found someone who came to her
a couple of times
Well, yeah, demon was cast out, but then they came back later and is that same person, and you know, demon was cast out again, and
so they're saying like it's for show or
yeah,
whatever.
But and I was just kind of thinking about that particular critique, and Jesus Christ himself said,
yeah,
if a demon is cast out and it'll leave, but then it'll come back, and if it finds the place empty, and so like it's going to bring back seven more demons, even worse than himself, and that person's going to be even worse. So this is something that Jesus himself actually did say. So before you just hop on any critic's bandwagon,
be careful.
Be careful. And Jesus is building his church. Mm-hmm. You know, it's important that we're building the church and not just criticizing other people, tearing things
down.
Like,
we should spend more time building than we should worry about exposing things constantly.
And if you spent like the hundreds upon hundreds of hours that you spent trying to find every little thing wrong with someone and applied it to like where you could be building something. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking like, man, if I had someone just come and serve for 200 hours helping our children's church, or
wow, wouldn't that be awesome?
Or helping our media team, you know, like invest $200 into, or 200 hours into something.
Building something.
That's building.
I know. So this is my problem, is that I get in the comments and I'm like, I wish you all would just like open your eyes and just try to use some discernment and realize that this is a tactic. And who knows? Who knows if what people are doing is shady or not. But, you know, I don't worry about that because I know there is a God that people will have to answer to. So, but that's where I get sidetracked, is I'm still trying to like point people in the right direction, and I realize it's a waste of time. But people will say, well, if we don't expose people, people are going to be misled and they're going to be tricked and they're going to be duped and it's bad and it's our job to protect those people. And I'm like,
that's funny. One of these critics that I saw was a woman with a large podcast, and she normally doesn't dip into criticizing other ministers, but she had a whole episode devoted to
thing.
Yeah, and I was thinking like she herself is against against miracles,
she
but she's also against
away.
Women teachers. So
oh,
she
I
was
like
criticizing
this.
Another
should,
women, and
yeah,
I was just thinking like
so say
like I. According to your own theology, how do you have the authority to
say what's
theology? So maybe you should take
like
your
you
own scriptures that you use out of context and just remain silent.
Yeah.
And anyways, if
we
anyone is in
real
Christ,
bad, real big,
he's a new creation. Well, this is the key. Well, and this is important too, because this is where a lot of critics get off. They don't like it when people actually preach who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was preaching, I think it might have been from our podcast, but I was talking about that you are a saint.
Yeah.
You're no longer a sinner. And someone was very upset about that. They're like, how can you preach that? How are people going to live if they think that they're saints and not sinners? And there are a couple scriptures in the New Testament where people are addressed as sinners, like wash your hands, you filthy sinners.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in the book of James. James is telling people to act and behave in accordance to who they are in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, so don't act that way
because
that's
you're not
who you are.
Right.
You know, and your actions should reflect your faith. You know, faith without works is dead. So he's not saying, you know, that you are, you know, it just you need to behave and realize who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing I do when I parent or minister. You need to realize who you are, what you've been given, and live it out.
Mm-hmm.
Live up to that. So
and
you
I
are
think,
a new creation.
Yeah. And I think when people study this, it keeps them busy in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps them out of the weeds. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps them from worrying about things that shouldn't pertain to them.
Well, it affects your soul to your mindset. So a lot of people feel like they're fighting this uphill battle all the time.
Yeah.
Like trying to attain
something
righteousness, trying to attain victory. But really, through Christ, you've been given victory. And when there are attacks in life, you're not fighting from a losing side trying to gain ground. You're actually already been given the higher ground.
Yeah.
And you're defending that point that the victory that you already have in Christ. So yeah. A lot of people have the mindset like, I'm trying to become victorious. I'm trying to become a saint. I'm trying to become
accepted by God.
Yeah, accepted. Yeah. I'm trying to become part of his family, but really you are part of the family. Mm-hmm. You've already been chosen. You've already been accepted.
Yeah.
And
that keeps you out of fear, you know? It keeps you out of fear, keeps you out of comparison, keeps you out of thinking that you have to one-up somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, it really protects you on all fronts, you know?
So that really is the first key that every Christian must know,
that
you're a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now going on to 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So every single believer has been given a ministry, and it's the ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of criticism, of condemnation, of pointing out, you know, people's flaws or going on witch hunts within the church. We have a ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I love that we have this word of reconciliation.
Yeah.
That's the word we've been given. That's the word that we should share. So when we're ministering to other people and we have a word from God, it should flow from that word of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Verse 20, this is the second truth that every believer must realize, that we are ambassadors for Christ. And that word carries a lot of weight. And again, it's the word ambassador doesn't just mean, it carries so much. And to me, the word ambassador, the primary thing that word carries is authority.
Yeah.
Ambassadors have authority. And a lot of believers don't understand their authority in Christ. They don't understand the authority that's been given them. They're not taught it. They shy away from it. They actually find it offensive sometimes when people talk about the authority of the believer. But as an ambassador, you have authority. Ambassadors actually have legal authority from the country where they come from to make treaties, to go to war, to make economic alliances. You know, they carry a tremendous amount of authority.
Yeah, this is why we can pray on earth as it is in heaven, because that's where we're ambassadors of heaven, you know, so we don't have to operate by the rules of the world.
Yeah.
In a spiritual sense.
And as ambassadors, you know, where you go live, you actually own the land where you dwell. Mm-hmm. So
that's good.
During Trump's first presidency, he actually moved the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Most countries don't move their embassies to Jerusalem. I think there's only a very small few, but actually every president, George H.W. Bush, Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama, all promised, part of their presidential campaigns made this promise. You know, both Democrats and Republicans made this promise that they would move the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, because Israel recognizes Jerusalem as their capital city. Mm-hmm. But none of them actually followed on that promise until Trump did. But when Trump moved the U.S. embassy into Jerusalem, where the embassy is, that soil belongs to the U.S. That's why when someone's in trouble, they can actually seek sanctuary at an embassy, because that country that they're in, don't have jurisdiction where the embassies are. That actually, the soil belongs to that nation. So there is U.S. soil in Jerusalem. So that means a lot politically. That also means a lot prophetically and a lot spiritually as well. And I haven't heard anyone really talk about that. That is a very significant thing, that there is U.S. soil in Jerusalem. So as an ambassador, you even though you dwell in a foreign country, where you dwell, that belongs to you. Mm-hmm. So even though I'm not from this world, I'm an ambassador from heaven. I'm an ambassador for the kingdom. Wherever I dwell, that ground belongs to me. That's really important to realize too. And also that where you dwell, there are going to be some things that are culturally off.
Yeah.
From where you're at. That's why some things that I see in the world are off for me as a citizen of heaven.
Yeah.
You don't have to partake in those things either, or think that way, or talk that way, or believe that way, because...
Well, that means that you have influence to change that area, you know? And, oh my gosh, so many people have moved from Colorado because they're like, this state is terrible. I mean, there are some terrible things about Colorado. But I feel like God's called us here, called me here. I'm not going to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I let the enemy...
Yeah, and where you dwell, like your job, your school.
Yeah, like you say, this place is blessed because I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when was that? I feel like there was a school shooting when. I mean, I feel like they happen all the time now, but there was one in particular that happened, I feel like, either last year or the year before, and it really started messing with me in my mind. Do you remember this? I got kind of scared. I was even wanting to like take Fisher out of school. Yeah, at the Christian school. Yeah.
In Nashville.
Was it Nashville, Kevin? Where was it? It was in Tennessee somewhere. Anyway, maybe that's why it bugged me because I'm from Tennessee. But yeah, and I was just like overcome with fear. And then all of a sudden it like dawned on me one day. You probably said this to me because you like try to keep me in check when my mind... starts reeling, but just reminded me that school is blessed because my kid goes there, because I pray protection over that school. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference between somebody who knows who they are in Christ and somebody who doesn't. Like when you know who you are in Christ and that you're an ambassador of heaven and that you have the authority to affect the world around you in which you live, your circles of influence, your kids' school, your church. That's why it's so important when you go to a church not to get in strife. You know, that's why it's so important to try to stay in unity. When you see a problem, go to the people in authority and then pray. Don't get on your phone and be contacting everybody, spreading gossip, telling everybody what's wrong, what the problem is. Like, how about we start looking at things differently and start using our authority and pray about certain things, you know? Be an ambassador. Be who God's called you to be. The minister of reconciliation, not the minister of gossip and discord, you know?
Yeah, and as an ambassador, you really don't belong to yourself either. You're representing someone else.
Yeah.
So you, as an ambassador, you don't belong to yourself. You don't make decisions on your own. You're making decisions on behalf of
your higher up,
which is Jesus.
Yeah.
So we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And, so we kind of went through the first two things that every Christian must know, that you're a new creature in Christ, that you're an ambassador. And thirdly, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
And, Holly White is on. She said in Nashville.
Hello, Aunt Holly.
I think it was an Episcopal school.
Yeah, it was bad. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
I can't even go there. It's going to start trying to
mess
with
this
me again.
Last point here, 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a huge, huge verse. And I want to spend some time here. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So if you think about all the sin that was placed upon Jesus at the cross, all of your sin, to not accept his righteousness or that identity of righteousness that he has given you, that's actually to kind of diminish what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Yeah.
So this is really the ultimate exchange. When you give your life to Jesus, he takes your life, but you receive his life.
Yes.
He takes your sin, but you receive his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that whenever you come to Jesus, whatever exchange occurs, you're always going to end up way, way better than you thought possible.
Yeah.
So a lot of... Yeah, we actually taught this verse to the youth recently, and we're talking about just different trades that go on.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
what do we call that message? The
ultimate
trade. The ultimate trade, yeah.
So you know, the older students, we teach junior high to high school. So the older high schoolers, they have access to their own economy. They have credit cards, they have jobs, they have cash, so they can.
They understand the value.
Yeah, but
of it, like
it's when you're
trading.
Younger, like in elementary school, sometimes junior high, where more trading occurs because kids don't have money.
Oh yeah.
They don't have credit cards, so to get what they want, they'll go to school and start trading things. They'll trade, you know, their dessert. They'll trade lunch. They'll trade Pokemon cards. At Fisher School, trading Pokemon cards became such a thing. Like, it was the currency of the elementary school. They had to shut down that currency. Like,
they said, no more Pokemon.
No more Pokemon cards at the school, because it literally became a currency there at the school. So they kind of know what's a good trade and what's a bad trade.
Yeah.
And I told them, you know, I for the past 15 years, I've been trading watches. Like buying and selling watches, sometimes trading, and you always want to make a good trade. And I told a story about how when Fisher was younger, he went with me to track down this package, and I knew it was really fishy. Like I think I bought.
Well, they sent it to the wrong address. Like
they did,
purpose.
But they sent it within the same zip code.
Okay.
So I bought
they
this.
They knew how to play eBay.
Yeah, they knew all the little fine print of the rules. So what they did, it was someone from Russia. I bought a watch for $1,000, and they mailed an item that weighed
similar.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the full case and everything, like it weighs a certain amount. So they sent a package that weighed something. But they sent it to a different address within the same zip code. And I noticed, like I was home when it was out for delivery. I thought I'm going to get this package. And I was kind of curious to see it because I knew, yeah, this is a little odd.
Yeah, you already knew.
Yeah, and the postal tracking system said that I wasn't home, like when it was out for delivery. So I went back to the post office. So I was home the whole time. So I actually went to the post office and showed him the tracking number, showed him my address, and said, "Yeah, well, this is my name. I had my ID. This is the tracking number." And I've been home the whole time. What's up? And even though it was addressed to a different address, they still gave me the package. So that was my proof for eBay and for the credit card company that I had gotten ripped off, because I actually had the package. You know, if it went to someone else and someone else signed for it, who knows how that would have went down.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got the package, and it ended up being a little bag of salt. And Fisher thought it was hilarious. He's like, "You got scammed." And I ended up getting all my money back. It wasn't too hard to get it back because I had a picture of the package and, you know, everything that they tried to do. So I was refunded. It was a waste of time, though, to just get a refund. You know, I'm not in this business just to break even and waste time dealing with scammers. So I just try to avoid scammers altogether.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that you've noticed about me being married is I hate being ripped off.
Yeah, you and Pastor Lawson both cannot stand to be ripped off. I used to think that, like, you guys were kind of cheap about some things, but it's not that, because I've seen you both spend money on certain things. Like, you're not cheap. The thing is, you think certain things are ripoff, like
certain things
checked
are.
Bags, like checked bags on the airline. That to you is a ripoff. Like, for somebody to actually charge you for your bag, knowing that, like, you have all this room on the plane. I don't know what your thinking is on it, but you think it's a ripoff. And if you think it's a ripoff, no, we're not paying for it. Pastor Lawson, the same way. To him, I think food is a ripoff. So he'll try to cut corners on, you know, certain things. But anyway, you want a good trade.
Mm-hmm.
And you want a good trade when it comes to your life. That's for sure. You want to make sure that you're not trading with the devil.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this. When you're trading with the enemy,
you're
and
trading
not living,
with the
not
enemy.
Living who you are in Christ.
You're trading with the enemy.
You really are.
Yeah. And he's going to rip you off every single time. And we talked about, I have like an old picture. I'm sorry for some of the youth parents if you're watching. If you're watching this, but I don't really hold back from your kids in the youth room. I had like an old picture of me when I was like 21, and I had the worst haircut known to man, and I was holding a mug of beer, and I had a cigarette And I just looked awful, you know. And so I wanted to show that to them and say, this was me before my life with Jesus. And they're like, oh, Pastor Heather. But I said, you know, back then I was trading with the enemy and I didn't know it. And I had, my life was miserable because of it. You know, he was robbing from me. He was stealing and killing and destroying my life. And I didn't even really know, except I had this hole of just longing for something that I wasn't sure what I needed, you know, but it was Jesus. But then when I got a little bit older, I decided I wanted to live my life full out for God. And man, the difference in my life, just emotionally, naturally, just all the things. And
so these three things really are so important for Christians to understand.
Yeah, and you think that you understand them because you've been coming to church like your whole life, but it's not the case. Because I talk to people all the time in church, and I already know by the things that come out of their mouth that they don't have a clue, you know. And it's a revelation. It's a living from glory to glory, you know. The more time you spend in the Word, the deeper it gets in you, and the deeper it gets in you, the more you start living it, and the better fruit that you start seeing in your life. And not only do we need to know it, we need to know how to communicate it with other people, because like this word says, we're all ministers of reconciliation. And this is like the biggest thing that you could share with someone when it comes to sharing the gospel with them, is a lot of people are struggling right around you. And the biggest thing that you can share with them is that, hey, you don't have to struggle. You don't have to live your life like this, because Jesus offers you a free gift of righteousness. He offers you a new identity, and he offers you authority, you know, to live in this world. Why are you smirking?
I was just thinking of that old brother out there clip.
Guys, you need to stop.
The preacher said, all my sins is washed away.
If you've seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And you have a favorite quote, you should put it in the comment section, because we would like to see it. Anyway, we would laugh about it. Anyway,
Dapper Dan's.
He's a Dapper Dan man.
Dapper Dan.
We can't. That, not all that movie is good.
And the Bible, I know.
It has some bad words.
There's a Bible salesman. It's the big actor.
John Goodman. Is his name John Goodman? Yeah.
And he's the Cyclops.
He's mean.
Yeah, he's got like a patch over one eye. And, okay. Well, he's the Cyclops in the Odyssey.
Oh, but he's mean.
He's a Bible salesman. It's been a while since I've seen that. I like the music a lot. I really like the
four things you must know as a Christian.
These three,
and watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? No, the Maybe. Fourth one is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Okay. No, probably don't watch that. If you do watch it, don't tell anybody. We told you.
Anyhow, I'd encourage everyone spend some time just studying and meditating on these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, super powerful. You know, just one word from God can change your life. Even I took up offering once, and God was using my own offering message to really speak to me the very next day. We just gotten back from vacation, and kind of recently. And Sunday at church, I used the scripture that he supplies seed to the sower and gives bread to the eater. And the very next day, with my business, just things were
falling apart,
difficult. I was upset.
It does this from time to time. You think that
just everything's a walk in the park.
It's not a big deal. It's going to be fine. But I have to tell him that.
But God was just speaking to me from the exact same verse that I use for offering. He supplies.
He is the supplier.
That it's not these individuals I'm doing business with, but he supplies. And man, that just kept ministering to me. And then I think it was like a day or two after, I ended up selling, you know, like the most expensive watch I've ever bought. You know, I bought a watch for around $22,000 and sold it for $25,000. And a very high end watch, you know,
new, crazy.
Retails like $50,000 on it. It's kind of mind boggling. But I wanted to get into that level of watches slightly, but that
I love this verse.
Helped confirm what God was speaking to me, that he supplies.
Yeah. God's word is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
And it separates your soul from the spirit. So it has the ability to separate like our flesh from the spirit. It helps us with discernment.
Yeah.
I love that. And in verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5:16. We started in 17, but I want to go back up to 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. You know, it's so important when we're dealing with people to remember that everybody has flesh. Everybody's going to make mistakes, but it's important, especially if they have made Jesus their Lord, you know they're a believer, that you look at them the way Christ looks at them. You look at them as who they are in Christ. And just like Aaron was saying about being a minister of reconciliation, that's how we want to communicate with people. Like, that's not who you are. Like, there's going to be somebody in your path that is probably going to be struggling with something. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way to minister to them, is to point them back to who they are in Christ.
Well, and this is something I've kind of recognized too.
Especially
kids. I've been a pastor for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I've seen here other places as well. Sometimes people get a position of influence within a ministry or a church and someone wrongs them,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to
go for the
chop them off,
yeah,
or whatever. And they might have a right to do so.
You don't have
but
a right.
No, the main thing, and there are people that, you know, I work very closely with the worship team, with the youth volunteers, a lot of staff. And there have been times where people have
wronged me.
Mm-hmm. And, I spent time praying about it, and I'm to keep including them and ministering to them, even though technically
your flesh doesn't want to,
and they might've broke the rules or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm less important than Jesus, and Jesus is the chief shepherd, and I'm an under shepherd. So I have to do what Jesus wants, and it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people that I might have a personality. I might just not like them as a person,
yeah,
or their personality, or, but I, it's more important that I minister to them as a pastor than just relate to them on a, what I see on the outside.
Yeah. And you might be saying, well, that's good for you, Pastor, and you're a pastor. I don't have to do that. Well, yeah, you do, because you're a minister
you
are of reconciliation.
You're an ambassador for Christ.
We should tell this. Tell
so as
us
an ambassador, you might really dislike someone.
Yes,
from another
right.
country.
Everyone is someone Jesus died for.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. As you an ambassador, you might be an ambassador from, you know, South Africa, living in D.C. You might really hate, you know, the U.S. president, but you can't go and just tell him, "I hate you, your guts, and your," you know, because
yeah.
you rep more than your own personal opinions and views and whatever, like you represent an entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as an ambassador for Christ. You might really dislike someone on a personal level, but you're an ambassador. So you represent Jesus.
Yeah.
So the way you relate to that person, interact with them, is as an ambassador,
mm-hmm.
carrying that ministry of reconciliation, not just your own.
Yeah.
Personal opinions. And
I wonder if, like, when people die and go to heaven, God says, well, you, this is just so hypothetical, this is just a conversation, but like, I wonder if he ever tells people, well, this person would have got born again, but you were a jerk to them, mm-hmm. and you represented Christ poorly. Mm-hmm. You think that happens?
I think so.
You think so? Are you listening to me?
I was reading some comments.
He wasn't listening to me.
I wasn't. Do you want to say that again? So I was trying to.
I said, I wonder if when we get to heaven, there will be some situations where God says, you know, this person would have received Jesus, but you were a jerk to them and you represented Jesus poorly to them.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think Jesus would find someone else outside of you. I think he gives everyone a chance at receiving him.
Well, that's good to know.
So people's complete salvation isn't based upon me alone.
I know that's not.
But I think I think he could talk to you about how you treated people, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But like, I don't think he'll blame you for someone not receiving him.
That's good to know. Straight to jail.
We can ask Andrew Womack that question.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Womack. Just
oh,
so you
yeah.
know, we're going to conclude here in just a minute. But just so everyone knows, we have quite a few people on live right now. Andrew Womack is going to be on live with us.
August 24th.
August 24th, Monday at 1:30. So
yeah.
Really, really cool. So be sure to mark that in your calendar.
Yeah.
That's an epic moment for the Purdue podcast to have. I think he actually has the largest television
ministry
in the world.
It's really cool that he was so, just willing to come do this with us.
So mark that in your calendar, August 24th, to tune into the Purdue podcast live. We might take some questions.
We might take some questions. Leave us your questions
but
for him.
That's going to be a question that you'll have. Is it possible?
I already know what he's going to say. I've listened to stuff. He'll be like, no, Heather, God's grace is bigger than that. I already know what he's going to say.
Anyways, so start writing, thinking of questions.
I did go to his Bible school, you know.
And he's currently with his television ministry. I think this is so cool.
They're at Kenneth Copeland's.
No, what he's doing, he's teaching through the Bible, verse by verse.
Oh, yeah,
the entire
yeah.
Bible.
What's it called?
Through the Bible.
Daily. Through the Bible.
Oh, okay. With Andrew Womack, yeah. That's, I think, going to be one of his main
things he leaves behind. Let's not talk about that.
But,
that makes me sad.
I think it's going to take him a while to complete that task, to
hopefully
teach verse by verse through the entire Bible. It's a big task. So,
okay,
anyways,
what were the three things? The three things.
Three things every Christian must know, found in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21.
You're a new creation
in Christ.
Yep. Old things have passed away.
Number two.
All things are new.
You're an ambassador.
You're an ambassador.
With
you
the word
authority.
Of reconciliation. And lastly, know what this ultimate exchange was, this ultimate trade was, that Jesus became sin for you.
Yes.
And you are now the righteousness of God in Christ.
That's good.
That's the greatest exchange that could happen for anyone. It's not a ripoff. It's
a good trade.
It's a good trade. So we love you guys. Be sure to tune in next Monday. We'll be live again Monday at 1:30. And don't forget, in a few weeks here, about a month away, Andrew Womack will be live with us here on the Purdue podcast. So be sure to like, subscribe, and share this with friends as well. We love you guys. See you all again very soon.